Shalom, אנחנו קוראים.
Hello. We're reading in Kabbalah for the student. We're reading the peace article, Shalom. We're in page 264 in the fifth method, left his operation. You can ask questions at Kabbalah TV. We'll ask them during the lesson. So, again, the title is Fifth Method, Left His Operation. Recently, when knowledge increased, and they saw the tight linkage among all the parts of creation, they recognized the concept of multiple gods to be completely impossible. Thus, the question of the oppositeness sensed in creation reawakened. This led them to a new assumption, that the supervisor of reality is indeed wise and caring. Yet, because of his exaltedness, which is beyond conception, our world is deemed a grain of sand, nothing in his eyes. It is not worthwhile for him to bother with our petty businesses. And this is why our livelihood is so disordered, and every man does that which is right in his own eyes. Alongside these methods, there existed religious methods of godly unity. But this is not the place to examine them.
He's afraid to examine them.
As I wanted only to examine the origins from which the fouled method and puzzling assumptions that vastly dominated and expanded in different times and places were taken.
All right, is that clear? That from this globalization, from the fact that you start seeing the world as connected, as a single system, so there aren't multiple gods anymore, there's nothing, but it's all actually leading us to the understanding that there is one system, and that's it. Yep. And in our world, there's no place for godliness, but nature. It's like we've come back to the first state. But alongside with that, we see that's not the way it is. Because a person determines everything according to his internal qualities. Once we were close to nature and we could determine that everything is the upper force. The fact that we are today, that we're not connected, each one is himself is divided into many opinions and desires, then it's difficult, even impossible to determine. That's why what we do isn't the actual truth that there is, but a person determines and examines out of what he believes and thinks, out of what we think truth is, truth for that momentary truth with respect to us, and that's a confusion. Every time humanity reaches this state, and it turns out that these methods have already kind of finished, and the other methods of multiple gods, they themselves are confused, people who are in these methods, philosophies, but really the state that our world is in is chaotic. There's no more than that. Yes.
We find that the basis on which all the above methods were born and emerged from the contradiction between the two types of providence detectable in our world. And all these methods came about only to mend that great tear. Yet nothing is new under the sun. Not only was that great tear not mended, rather it grows and expands before our eyes into a terrible chasm, without seeing or hoping for a way out of it. And when I look at all those attempts that humanity has been making for several thousand years to no avail, I wonder if we should not seek the mending of this great tear from the supervisor's point of view at all, but rather accept that this great correction is in our own hands.
It's a different approach that you need for life. Don't look for something good in life. Why not? Because naturally, from our ego, from our nature, we are always looking for good. But there needs to be a completely different approach. Our life is bad, but it's arranged in order to bring us to a good state. And not that we now have to find goodness in it. But if we will listen to the orders of nature, of what it's passing on to us, and behave accordingly, then we will reach the absolute goodness. That's how it is. This approach is very, very different than what a regular, small egoist thinks that it will be. The person grows up in his mother's arms, guiding him, let's say from the father, from the country, from the nation, and he wants to continue that way. And life comes, and it ruins this approach of his that was so good and pleasant for him, and brings him to the opposite, the complete opposite from puberty and on. It just becomes the opposite, and he doesn't agree to it. And here we need to understand, why do we have this contradiction even in nature? And what from that do we need to learn for our development? Okay? Questions? There are none. There are? Okay.
First of all, what he writes is that what's common with all the other methods is that they're trying to correct the tear from the side of the supervisor. What does that mean?
From the one that governs? Well, yeah. As a little kid, I can do whatever I want, and they feel that it's a child who has no mind, and I get used to it. I get used to everything being okay, that everything is fine, that I'm loved, that I'm forgiven, that instead of me getting punishment for something that I do, this punishment is given to others. So if I'm allowed to do everything good and bad, then everything is fine. I'm not told anything. But someone corrects it, because a few years have gone by. Suddenly, they start demanding it from me. It's a completely different approach. It's opposite. I don't agree to it. I'm, as a small egoist, don't agree to it. So what can I do? So tell me, what can I do? If I continue as before, then I'm already considered a felon. I'm not a small, little, cute little kid. Yeah, the little kid did something. No. I don't even know if I did good or bad. The grown-ups always covered it up, and suddenly begins to be a demand, and who agrees to that? No one. If I continue as before, and I want to do whatever I want, then I'm considered a felon. these people that want to keep advancing, that want to live in life like in their childhood, they have like this gang, and they do whatever they want. They go and steal, they go kill, according to their desire. What's wrong with that? It all comes from wanting to act without any measurement. Why would they want nature to change? To have this attitude from nature change to you? No, they want to continue like in the past.
I didn't get it. I mean, it's true, some want to continue, but some take responsibility, mature people, they run their life. What does he mean by trying to correct the tear from the side of the supervisor?
That's on the corporeal level. On the spiritual level, it's even worse. That there, they ask us not to suit ourselves to the system of corporeal judgments, but of the spiritual. That I need to account for everything to the force of nature. There are two planes here. Even the lower plane, I don't want to be suitable for. I don't want to accept it. The laws of nature, the laws of the country, what, I have to accept it? I'm told there's no choice. Why? Even if the nation is corrupted and the society is corrupted and you're in it, you must follow these laws. You must. Why? Because there is general providence that through these laws it governs you. That too is the desire of the Creator. Don't say, no, I'm only following the laws of the wisdom of Kabbalah. That is incorrect. When those start putting together these laws, and I don't want to even call them names, which I would want to, but they're angels, because at the end of the day, they're doing actions that are the desire of the Creator, that by that, He straightens out the society, leading them towards connection. And the laws are completely irrational, and they're against spiritual laws, and they're against the wisdom of Kabbalah, and they're dishonest, and human society, look what's happening to it. Look in the media. What are people engaging in? Look how they're confusing themselves. It's a shame. It's a joke. Look at what the people are dealing with, they're engaging in. The president's wife, the prime minister's wife did this to her maid, or did that and this, and they're making that into, like, you know, a national problem, a national issue, you know, a worldwide phenomenon. Look what's happening. These are things that need to be, these things that are considered as high. So when we see that, what should we do? There's no choice. There is no choice. You need to say that these things, with respect to you, you need to accept them, as there is none else besides Him. And by that, He straightens you out. You want to respond? Go ahead.
Yeah, there's a book called Ismach Moshe. And in it, it says, every king or leader, even though we see he's the leader and he can revive or kill and make people rich or poor, still, he is not the real king, because he does not control his own desire. The heart of angels and ministers is in the hand of God. He does not rule on his own, and naturally he is not a king over his other people, because he does not do what he wish. He is like something in the hand of the maker.
And this is with respect that anything that happens to you, it could be from Alexander the Great to Hitler to whoever you want. It could be related like Trump or Bibi or a policeman that stops you along the way. Everyone.
Regarding what he said, that we're trying to correct the tear from the perspective of the supervisor. Understand what he says about the first, second, and third method. Regarding the first one, I don't understand, because the one who's following the first method, he's trying to take things in his own hands.
We'll talk about it. I don't want to get into it. It's incorrect, but nature is the most difficult. To accept everything that nature is the upper one, that is the most perfect way. Yes.
I wanted to ask. Previously you said that our life is bad, but we're aimed to the goodness.
Not bad. Life isn't bad. Whoever accepts them as bad is bad. Whoever accepts them as an invitation for advancement, then it's not bad. If I see in my life everything in my life as guidance from above, no matter what happens to me, and happens, and pressure and issues and all of that comes from a single source. And then I see that, thank God, it's not letting me go. It's not letting go of me.
So I wanted to ask, how during the time of concealment can you recognize the laws that act?
Only through the environment. You have no other way. If you're in concealment, then the environment, the society, needs to do what it needs to do. In other words, to hold you in Arvut, to hold you in this Brit, in this covenant, and then you go back to recognition of where you are and what you are, ups and downs and falling and rising. It happens from nothing else but from the connection to the upper force that influences you. If I'm connected to that cause, then I don't care about anything else. I don't care what I'm going through. I could go through things that are many, many, many times worse, and they're still felt as good. Because if I'm connected to the Creator, then any resistance, any of the oppositeness, then this gap turns into connection.
That's exactly my question. During the time of a concealment, when a person exerts in connecting it all to the Creator, what does it mean that he identifies the laws that act on him from the various cases that he occurs?
You need to make an effort. I can't pass on this feeling. You need to invest effort for it to happen.
Where to invest my effort?
Pay attention in connection to the friends. Such general questions aren't related to this at all. Yes.
Page 264, necessity to practice caution with the laws of nature. We can all plainly see that the human species must lead a social life, meaning it cannot exist and sustain itself without the help of others. Therefore, imagine an event where one retires from society to a desolate location and lives there a life of misery and great pain due to his inability to provide for his needs. That person would have no right to complain about Providence or his fate. And if that person were to do that, meaning complain and curse his bitter fate, he would only be displaying his stupidity. This is because while Providence has prepared for him a comfortable, desirable place in society, he has no justification to retire from it to a desolate place. Such a person must not be pitied, since he is going against the nature of creation. And since he has the option to live as Providence has ordered him, he should not be pitied. That sentence is agreed upon by all humanity without disputes. And I can add and establish it on a religious basis and give it such a form. Since providence extends from the Creator, who undoubtedly has a purpose in his actions, since there is no act without a purpose, we find that anyone who breaks a law from the laws of nature that he has imprinted in us corrupts the purposeful aim. Because the purpose is undoubtedly built over all the laws of nature, none excluded, such as the clever worker would not add or subtract even a hair's breadth of the necessary actions to attain the goal. He who alters even a single law harms and damages the purposeful aim that the Creator has set, and will therefore be punished by nature. Hence, we too, creatures of the Creator, must not pity Him, because He is desecrating the laws of nature and defiles the purpose of the Creator.
Questions? Yes.
How do we connect between a person who does harm and there's none else besides him? How can we have room for both?
I don't understand what you're talking about. There are many things here, many different levels. You're either talking about the human society, which seemingly builds itself a system of laws. Alongside with that, it builds itself also systems of how to bend these laws and bypass them. But whatever it does. That's the human society. However they behave, all of that is upper providence that wants to bring them to recognition of evil, and then to corrections. And besides, we need to see how we are in both of these systems. On the one hand, from this human system, and on the other hand, from our system, if we're able to build such a system between us, which is called a group, which is called the spiritual kli. So what's your question? You're asking about humanity or about us?
I'm asking about us. How can we connect both what we see outside, seemingly, in the human system with what we see here, and nonetheless have this connection of there is no else besides him? In what way?
We need to see what's happening outside, because that's what the Creator wants to show us as general providence, because we don't see the world, we see ourselves, and we need to treat this differently. The correction starts from inside and then it goes outwards. We need to start our corrections here in the group. And the more negative influences we have on the group, the more we have negative influences from outside the group onto the group. All of this needs to be taken as something that comes from the Creator, because there is none else besides Him, and that comes in order for us to connect ourselves and see that as chasadim. That's it. Simple sentence. Okay? Yes?
Can we please complete the gap between what he says, that I can complete and add it to a religious basis, and that the providence extends from the Creator, who undoubtedly has purpose in his actions, meaning he now adds his own opinion?
You can look at life either as incidental. These are the laws of nature, however nature just unfolds. Of course, it's laws, it all makes sense because it comes from nature. That's one. Or that it comes from the thought of creation that is before nature, that this thought comes to realization. Yes.
So he goes to this research with an assumption that this is the perception, there's a Creator.
If you won't accept this, if not, then don't accept it. Stay in the form of nature.
No, I'm just asking how...
Yes, he wants to bring you to a state that there is the one that has gives providence, and it all started from the thought of creation. And this thought, it realizes in matter. The thought is the will to bestow, and that created this matter, the will to receive, and this will to receive wants to clothe itself in this form that's opposite of it. And this will to receive should, at the end, want to receive as much as possible, but with the intention in order to bestow.
So he takes this rule, and now he's about to prove this rule?
I don't know if he's about to prove it. We'll see together. What he is saying is, if we see reality in such a way, then we'll see that it unfolds from a thought of creation, that there is a thought. And all the difference between religious and secular is that there was first an initial thought to create the world. All the difference between religion and Kabbalah is that a person is in that thought and he works actively in it. In other words, he suits himself to the intention, to the thought. That's the difference. So you can see where there is secular in nature and religion is that it's not demanding inner change but external change. To set up your lives in this world in all different ways, to go, to pray, to the synagogue or whatever, to come back, to study Talmud, to eat kosher food and so on. If I do that, that's it. Or are there more things, which means already to suit myself to the upper one, to turn one into Adam, to be similar to that force. That is the wisdom of Kabbalah. That's why that's its law of love thy friend as thyself. And to the extent you keep this law, you extend yourself from your nature to the upper nature. That's it. Why is the mic left there? They never ask. Leave it there, and that's it.
So, seemingly, anyone can say now, a secular person can come and say, I'm going to prove how reality aligns according to my perception. And a religious person will come and say, reality aligns according to my perception.
Go ahead. I can bring you 1,000 people. I can bring you 8 billion people. And each one will give his own perspective of what he thinks of the world. So what? And each one is right. Because he who sees flaws, he sees it from his own flaws.
Meaning Baal HaSam doesn't really prove now. He proves...
You can't prove anything to anyone. You can't. There are many people that tell me, you're wrong, you don't understand, you don't do this. Do I ever argue with them? Of course not. First of all, there's no kind of aim to do that, to prove someone wrong. It's first of all towards yourself. That's one. Two, how can you? You need to raise them to a completely different degree. You need to change them. And it's prohibited to do it in coercion. You're not allowed to force someone. If a person doesn't want to, then it's prohibited. If he comes to you and he wants to learn and so on, that's something else. But if he doesn't want to, then no. That's why I never get into arguments with anyone. You think that way? Fine. Someone else thinks another way? Fine too. And he also thinks another way? That's also fine. And who's right? Everyone's right. Because he who flaws does it from his own flaws.
That's absurd.
It's not absurd. It's exactly because the upper light shines to everyone. That's how the Creator sets each and everyone up.
Why is it organized in a way that you can't do it? And on the other hand, all of humanity
You are prohibited from getting into others' business, because each one needs to correct themselves. Each one needs to reach that special point of adhesion to the Creator. That's why don't touch. Let's say a person sits here, and what he sees here doesn't really seem to him, and he wants to go. Fine, he can go. You can awaken in him some kind of a critic sense, so he'll examine why. But beyond that, you're prohibited. These are his own scrutinies. If you now go and force him and bend him, then he'll be lacking these things. He'll have to go back and repeat a much longer and more difficult path in order to discover the flaw and correct it. The best is to correct them, is to make the corrections immediately. And what you need to do is just to support him. Give him the means, but he has to do it. What does he write about this? Peace in the world. About such sorrow that the developed countries do, that what do they want to do? They wanted to do good things. Let's bring them culture and food and everything to the third world countries. And is it all good? No, it's not. Does that mean that they're developed? No, they've developed technologically in comparison to those who live in Africa or in the East. They're not developed because they developed differently on the emotional level. That's why they didn't add anything to them. They only gave them weapons for them to kill each other. Yes?
He writes in the Freedom article, Chirut, that the end of every tendency is to become a great philosophy or wisdom. And it turns out that if you pull out any tendency that one has, meaning you're ruining a wisdom that is about to come out in the end of this line, because this tendency will not appear in any other body except this one. And so we see the harm that nations do when they suppress other nations without letting them evolve according to their tendency that came from their ancestors. It's like killing other people. And even the ones who don't believe in religion and purposeful providence can understand the necessity to guard the individual in nature, because we see that in all the nations that were ruined during the history, it was because they suppressed all the minorities and ruined them. And so it's very clear to everyone that we cannot have peace in the world if we do not regard the individual peace as important. Without that, we will not have peace.
And it's not just from Europe to Africa to Asia. This is also inside of Europe. Look what they did. Look how they wanted to dominate Germany, France, England. Look how they wanted to dominate Europe. Look what they did. And that's going to still... It's still going to get back at them. And that's called unity? No, without correcting the ego, you can't unite. This is soon still going to be revealed. That from this specifically will come the great recognition of evil. Okay, what happened to the...
You were talking about unity, so Sunday we're going to have a unity evening. It's going to be very big. Hundreds of students from all over Israel are about to come from various circles, etc. And as we've been learning what we just learned, are we expecting people to start coming more as a result of these evenings to change their...
I think that's for sure. I think Well, it depends on what type of dissemination you guys are doing, but I really hope that many new people will come. And we saw that in this congress that we had successfully in Vilnius, we saw how these new people, they beautifully integrated with the veteran students. People who even came often from the street, they sit in the tent, and they speak as if they've been with us for 10 years. How can that be? It can only be because it's spirituality. That's it. That is spirituality. How could a child that's born today suit today's society? He should have been suited to a society from 50,000 years ago, right? How is he suited for today? It's just how it is. The society that absorbs him, that hugs him, gives him everything. And when it comes out of it, it's difficult to say what he's going to come back to. But when he penetrates it, then he's included. And when he comes out of it, then he'll already have this imprint, this impression from the new state, and that state advances him. That's why I highly recommend to those that are able in any kind of way just to come here. And I'm first talking to those who've never been here before. Don't be afraid. Come. Come, be included with us. Taste unity.
What will they get except for the meal and the show? What will they get?
I'm not talking about that. That's an external wrapping.
So what will they receive?
They'll get an inner spirit where they'll feel something that is above this world. You should have seen the people that participated in the Vilnius Congress. Completely new. Not those that grew up in Israel, that to some extent are brought up to unity, to connection. No, here you're talking about this northern nation which is very, very cold, and where each one lives 2 kilometers apart from what the other. That's their nature. I live there. I know the character of the people there. That's why I really, really hope many people will come and will taste what connection is, especially in Israel. And it will help us advance nicely, properly in all of our matters, national, of our people, to connect and to come closer and to have a better life.
I have to say that the radio will be live, of course, our radio, Kabbalah Radio. We're going to broadcast before people will come, and the preparation on the way, and we'll accompany the people. You'll be our guest at 5:30. The evening will start at 6:30. Of course, we're going to start the broadcast a lot earlier. But I wanted to ask about this feeling you said that they're going to have, these people that will come, the new ones.
I can't convey this feeling to them now. It's a feeling of warmth, of connection, of a shoulder, that of a friend that is willing to support you, to hold you. And when we connect in such a way, and we have such misunderstandings, to say the least. I saw news yesterday. Oy vey. The country is just in conflict. Everyone, this raped, he stole, he did this, he did that. It's what's going on here? And even if it is, then I wanted to hear, you know, about news, what's happening here and there. There is no news. That was the news. It was hopefully we'll change the atmosphere that fills the vibe in Israel.
Can't we change the vibe in Israel, in our unity as a group?
Yes, if we want to be connected, not just between us, but with the people, we will change this atmosphere, this, to make the air cleaner. There are so many bad ways of treating it, and it's terrible, and I'll burn everyone, there's nothing sacred anymore. Well, hopefully we... Oh, now we're going to be given the daily task.
The daily task is from Guadalajara.
Oh, nice.
Good morning, Rav, beloved friends.
La tarea diaria es discutir durante el día.
Our daily task is to discuss during the day how, through the contradictions, we attain our vut in the friends in the ten. Again, discuss during the day how, through the contradictions, we attain our vut in the ten. And a few announcements. Zohar lesson. You're all invited to watch the Zohar lesson tonight at 6:15 p.m. Israel time. Open Friday. Viewers of our channel, students all over Israel, you're all invited to come over to 12 Nevatim Street at 2:45 a.m. to join us in our lesson. If you want to come, please call first 1-700-509-209. Thank you. Have a good day. Unity Evening, the story of Kabbalah Lam. You're all invited to our Unity Evening, Sunday, 6:30. November 12th in Petah Tikva. 12 Nevatim Street, Petah Tikva. Please pay attention. We're going to have a radio broadcast before the event and after it. Let's sing a song together.
שמור מקום מיוחד בנשמה בהגשמה כמו מופע בקונצרט מפסנתר עד קלרינט לכל אחד תפקיד מיוחד ישר Avraham.